Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase McCabe in today. Nick Kieser along for the ride as well. Still hopeful Barry Trotz will join us before the end of the show, but we say hello to Greg Wyshynski, ESPN, covers the NHL for them. Greg, what's up? Good morning.
A very sad downgrade from waiting for Barry Trotz to inviting me on the program,
hey.
but such is life.
Hey, you know I love having you on, and I'm hoping, you know, Barry's just busy. He's preparing for the draft. Maybe he's working the phones right now. You never know. He's a busy man.
Exactly. And he's also learning the ropes. Maybe he's got like a pile of paperwork on his desk he didn't know he was going to have. Everybody started a new job at some point, and you're overwhelmed. He's probably still watching orientation videos. For goodness sake, he's in that room. He's watching, you know, Don't Steal from the cafeteria. He's seeing all the things right now that he didn't know about beforehand.
I just got this visual of David Poyle, like with a whiteboard of David Poyle's guide to being a GM, just teaching a class.
It's like, you know, they have like David Legwan teaching you about, you know, keeping office secrets under lock and key at all times. So everybody's been there with those videos.
Yes, no doubt about it. So the draft is going to be here next week in Nashville, and we're all excited about that. But, you know, I feel like this is going to be a pretty active draft when it comes to player movement, not only draft picks, but because there's so much talent in this draft that I think we're going to see teams like the Predators lobbying for spots to move up and around in the draft and also acquire players that can help them right now. Would you agree?
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, in Nashville's case, I mean, picking 15th in the draft this deep is still a pretty good place to be if they can't work something from a deal perspective. But, you know, it's not only going to be a draft where I do think we're going to see a lot of movements, but because you have teams that might want to move up in the draft order, but you're also still in a flat salary cap era, and you're going to have teams that are going to be aggressive and trying to reshape their cap, and usually the way to do that is by trading away a pick with that player if they need to get them off their salary structure. So there's going to be that. And also, you know, I just think that we have an interesting amount of available players right now via the trade market, in particular the goaltenders. We'll see if that includes the Predators or not. But, I mean, when you have potentially a Connor Hellebuck available from the Winnipeg Jets, and now all of a sudden beyond the goalies, you have all these players on the Calgary Flames that seem to be escaping the city as quickly as possible. You've got the makings of a pretty robust trade market, and it all begins at the draft.
So I'm going to be honest with you. I was, you know, reading through a couple days ago, the hockey staff, and you're a part of this, put out like potential trades you could see. DeBrincat going to Detroit. I was like, really? No, they don't. No, they don't get him. They don't get to do that.
That was I think fantasy casted by either my colleague Ryan Clark or my colleague Kristen Chilton. And the one thing about that I think is there's a part of me that thinks it could happen because obviously Steve Yzerman needs to add as many established weapons to that lineup as possible to buoy the group of young players that he has coming through the system. But Yzerman traditionally has not been somebody who seeks out players of, shall we call, DeBrincat's dimensions. He's usually someone who tries to seek out maybe like a larger forward. Remember, this is a guy who was, you know, playing with the Red Wings when they had some hosses on that team. And so I think I would be a little surprised if it wound up being someone like DeBrincat for Detroit, only because of how we've seen Yzerman operate that, you know, his player development and player selection in the past. But, you know, they certainly have the assets that can go back the other way to Ottawa to make something like that happen for sure.
Talking to Greg Wyshynski, ESPN, who's here with us. So we had a texter earlier kind of throw out a scenario that the Predators, with the 13 draft picks that they have and some of the other assets, that they could possibly make a move with Arizona for Clayton Keller. I don't know what that would take, and I don't even know if Arizona would be interested. But what do you think about that?
Well, I think that Arizona would be interested, if only because it seems like Keller has kind of indicated, or at least we believe he's indicated because of his dad on social media, that he's at his wit's end when it comes to the future of that franchise. I mean, he was a supporter of that vote to build the arena in Tempe, was Clayton Keller, when it didn't happen, and now they have to hit reset. And now all of a sudden, you have Gary Bettman at the Board of Governors meeting yesterday in New York talking about how they expect to have clarity on the Arizona Coyotes by mid-season, which could mean, hey, if you guys don't have a plan C set up here by midseason, we're going to have to start talking about relocating you out of the market. I mean, that's a lot to deal with. And so, you know, he's dedicated himself to that franchise. If he's not happy, I mean, I think it's only right for them to see if they can move him on. And, you know, the Coyotes continue to build. I mean, they're best. Some of their best players aren't even in the NHL right now. I still think that they're in a position where they want to amass as many draft picks as they can. That's always been their GM, Bill Armstrong's strength. So the treasure trove that the Predators have could ultimately potentially net them somebody like Clayton Keller if the situation presents itself.
Greg Wyshynski's with us. So, Greg, this is something that I've been mulling over for probably the last few weeks, more or less this last week, because obviously the draft is right here in Nashville next week. So, obviously, the Preds are going to be picking at number 15 and 24. I personally think that we could see maybe a forward taken, one defenseman taken, maybe even two forwards, because you have guys like Oliver Moore, Gabe Perlow. You've also got Ryan Leonard, but also on defense, David Reinbacher, Axel Sandin Pellikka was a guy that stood out to me. But what do you think the Preds' best approach could be now that they are now having their deepest draft since 2003 when it was also here in Nashville?
Yeah, I've seen some of the mocks, and I know for on one I've seen Oliver Moore is a real good skating center, potentially going to them at 15. I've obviously seen as you have Sandin Pellikka potentially being there at 15. I don't think he lasts all the way to the next pick, but I would imagine based on you know, glancing at the Predators' prospect depth chart the other day when we were doing some research and the way that the draft kind of plays out in the middle round, in the middle of the first round, that I think you're right. I think I wouldn't be surprised if we end up seeing a center taken and a defenseman taken with those two picks, provided they keep them. And then it's just going to be a matter of best available on the board at number 15. And that'll kind of like light the way probably for that next pick.
So, Greg, I have a quick two-parter here for you. One is related to the Board of Governors meeting. And also, I'll start here with this part. Michkov and Philly are reported to be meeting here pretty soon. So I was wondering what you've heard about just about him as a prospect going into the draft and also going to that meeting. I heard that we're not going to see any specialty jerseys next year. What do you make of that?
Well, on the Michkov thing, it's interesting because the word is out in the NHL that he's trying to kind of maneuver his way to certain teams in the first round. I think that's probably a way to signal to certain teams that might, like Arizona is a good example of that might want to draft him and can wait for him to develop, that he might not necessarily be desirous to sign with them at all. So, you know, the fact that you have Philly and Washington picking back-to-back in the first round, and obviously there's the Russian connection with the Capitals, and if he's meeting with Philly, there's probably some affinity for him to play there too. It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. I mean, I think there's already a lot of issues with him with regard to having to wait for him and stuff, but like, you know, we'll see if all of this other kind of, I'm choosing my own destiny stuff turns off some teams as well. The jerseys thing is really difficult. I mean, it's a bad decision by the NHL, to catch people up if they don't know because of all the controversies over the Pride jerseys this season and the players that boycotted warmups to not wear them, the NHL decided yesterday to not have any specialty jerseys at all in warmups. And this stinks for a lot of reasons, which is that you aren't giving players a chance to promote causes they're passionate about. I mean, we're talking about the military. We're talking about Hockey Fights Cancer. In San Jose, we're talking about Hispanic Heritage Night. Like, these are the things that get promoted when these guys wear these jerseys during warmups, and the nights will still exist. Like, they're still having these special nights, but they're not having them get the spotlight that they've gotten in the past with the players actually wearing these jerseys. And then on top of that, the jerseys are often sold at auction after the games. And then the proceeds from those auctions go directly to organizations that help those communities, including cancer research. And so Gary Bettman said yesterday, well, they can still make the jerseys and sell them. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, but the whole point of people buying them is I'm buying the jersey my favorite player wore in warmups to support this cause. It's not to just buy a jersey. So it's an absolute mess. Like, they took the absolute worst way out of this by deciding, you know, the controversies that were happening last season were so much of a distraction that they're just going to, you know, kibosh all of the jerseys that they wear, whether it's cancer research, empowering women, Black History Month, all these other worthy causes, just because of everything that went down with Pride Night. It was a real disappointment yesterday.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you on that, Greg, because I think they're going to I think we might see a little backpedaling at some point. That's generally what happens with things like that. But, yeah, I didn't like that much either. Good to talk to you, my friend. This was good. You made me feel better because we didn't get Barry Trotz. But we'll see you next week in Nashville.
Absolutely. I can't wait to get there. I'm getting there Monday for the awards, and then we'll be there for the rest of the week. And it's going to be a really fun time. I think it's obviously going to be a real hot crowd. I am very fascinated to see what the reaction from the locals is when Bedard gets drafted by Chicago. we'll see what that sounds like. And I can't wait to experience it.
Yeah, no doubt. I owe you a beer or two, so we will make sure that happens.
You got it. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Greg Wyshynski, ESPN, joins us every week, and looking forward to seeing him next week at the draft here in Nashville. Coming up next, Nashville Super Speedway this weekend. Matt Gracie going to join us one more time to talk about their sellout that they announced yesterday and the fun things they have going on at the Super Speedway this weekend. We'll do that next. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.